Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program is being recorded for November the 6th, 2016, and I'm very grateful you chose to be with us as we take a look at understanding. Hard to understand is old Gregory, huh? Well, maybe I'll be able to shed a little bit of light on that, and I'm hoping to do so. If you are enjoying these programs, I want you to know, as if you already don't, that they are made possible by very kind and loving people who are sponsors of our radio program here on Aspire, as well as our TV program that you can see on the Aspire website under Media, and you can go take a look. We have a kind of an old series that is new. They have been unearthed. They were made way, way, way back in the day of 1987. Never thought I'd say that felt so long ago, but it is. And I hope that you go and take a look at the TV programs there. They're called Signatures on the Water. They were some Zen teachings and stories and insights that I gave in Encinitas, California. We were shooting at Quail Gardens, and they're there for you to watch. Their relevance is obvious. There is a ton of it. And I hope that you enjoy the programs. And those, too, were made available by sponsors. People such as yourself who basically are interested maybe in another point of view other than the political, social, religious, and all the other craziness that's in this world, huh? So go take a look. I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and helping us support both our radio and our TV programs. And you could make a year-end donation that would really help. You can go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look at donations and sponsorship, and you can be a part of something that really does help individuals. We have around 6,000 or 7,000 people every year watch, listen, and do Aspire. So we're very, very happy about that. Let us go to the first question. I dug these out about 2 days ago and had to sit with them to really understand why the heck I'm answering these questions sometimes. You'll see why. It's hard to understand you, Greg. Well, you know, your teachings make no sense at all to me. Why? Rich from San Diego. I don't know why they don't make sense to you. I guess I'm not trying to make sense. Maybe that's the deal here. I'm not trying to make sense out of this. I'm not trying to appeal to the lower part of you. All great truths sound like blasphemy in the beginning of our inner work. And they sound ridiculous. They sound absurd. They make no sense at all to the rational mind that is always causing problems and creating mischief in our life. So why would they make sense? I don't understand your question. Why would anything that was reasonably, shall we say, in the ballpark of awakening, spiritual awakening, make any sense to anyone? Because most of us don't care about awakening or spiritual awakening or any part of the awakening process. We just don't care. So you're listening to me. I guess you have to ask yourself, Rich, first, what is your intent for listening to me? What's your intention? What are you trying to get? What are you trying to do to listen to me? What is it that you want to hear, that you think you need to hear? What's going on there? That's the first thing I would look at. If you're looking for answers, if you're looking for amusement, if you're looking for entertainment, if you're looking for some kind of support for what you believe in, I don't think you're going to get that from me at all. Now, if that's what you're doing, then, you know, you found the wrong guy. If you're looking for conformity and, you know, going to the domestic part of your life and living in the pedestrian mentality, which most of us do, thinking we're so elevated because we're an arrogant lot of human beings here in America, then, you know, you... But something keeps making you listen, doesn't it? Something keeps, well, shall we say, urging you on a little bit. And something is trying to help you. What that exactly is, I do not know. Typically, you hear these little knocks at the door inside you. A lot of us do. We wonder, wait, what is that? What is that knock on the door? What's going on here? It's your soul, your heart, your beingness that is knocking at the door saying, hey, open up here. Let's talk a little bit. Let's see what's going on here. Everybody feels the call one time or another. They feel the call to something greater than what their thoughts can think and their emotions can abide in. They go a little further. They go a little deeper. They go into maybe something more, shall we say, transcendental, maybe something more translucent, maybe something transformational. And if you start to feel that and it doesn't feel normal to you, well, why would it? I mean, most of us live a very pedestrian life, living in the conservatism of our fears, not wanting to make mistakes, not wanting to have anything bad happen to us, not wanting to have basically anything happen to us. So what's the story there? Why are we not working on ourselves? Why are we not persevering there? That's my message. I question you on a couple of angles. The way of your heart, the way of your living, the way of your being, or maybe to discover something that is deeply important, that is beyond the concepts of what you might enjoy thinking about or wanting in your life. There's all sorts of things. And most of us, well, we fool around with what we can think, and we don't want to persevere beyond the idea of maybe entertaining something that doesn't make sense to us. If you listen to the teachings of Jesus, they make no sense at all. The Beatitudes, I am told by people, make no sense to them, and a lot of people resent them because it makes them feel stupid. They don't get it. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. These things don't make sense to the average person, to the logic and the reasoning of a human being. And yet here are these teachings. And they are so deeply beautiful, and they are so deeply important. And there you are. You got them. They're there. But we don't listen to them because we can't understand them. You listen to the Buddha. Want nothing with all of your heart, he said. Want nothing with all of your heart. Now, when you really listen to that, it sounds like insanity. How do you want something with all of your heart that is a nothing? You know, you and I think in terms of, I want it with all my heart. I want this thing with all my heart. Well, it's all of my emotionality is what we're talking about here, not with our spiritual heart. So you've got all this stuff going on, huh? And you're looking at it, and you're listening to it, and you're trying to understand it. And then you get to Lhasa. Oh, my gosh. Lhasa is one of the greatest, in fact, in my opinion, the greatest teacher that ever lived on planet Earth. We don't know a lot about him, but we do know his teachings and what he offered us in the Tao. It is the most amazing attribute, amazing teaching I have ever heard in my life. I mean, amazing. If you have not read the Tao, maybe it'd be a good idea to do it, just to glance through it. You can do it on the internet. Won't cost you a cent, old Rich. And you can take a look at it and go, oh, this is insane. You know? And he talks about things in ways, in paradox. And it really blows people's minds when you hear these things talked about, and they're great truths, but they're not logical. They're not in the syntax of our thinking. So we don't really understand them. because they're not common to my pedestrian mentality, my conventions, the way I like to think. Rich, very few people in our culture, in our society, go beyond the conventions of thinking right and wrong, good and bad. They go beyond any of that. They are stuck with the idea of what they believe in and what they think and what they want and all of that other stuff. And they never realize the meaning and the significance of what it means to have a life that is, what shall we say, out of the box. A meaningful life. A life of substance. A life that sustains you in the purposes of your living and helping you reach your personal destiny. Which we all have, but people don't believe that. So, Rich, you say it's hard to understand you. Your teachings make no sense. I'm not here to be sensible. I'm not here to alert your senses or to calm them down or appease them. Your senses are not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is the direct experience that I can show you that you can have, that you can give yourself, that is beyond the concepts and the reasoning of human thinking. That's what I'm interested in, and that's what it's all about for me. And I'm sorry that I'm not a better teacher to help you more with that, but maybe one day we'll both grow. Please forgive me. Namaste. I always think, gosh, poor people that listen to me. It's hard to convey sometimes an experience that doesn't have beginning, middle, and end. An experience that is a continuum of eternity and immortality and has nothing to do with what we horse around with here on the planet. And sometimes it just is difficult. And the next question comes from Jess in Long Beach, California. He listens. Listening to you makes me feel, are you ready for this? Foolish. Like I'm all wrong in everything I've ever thought. Is this true? Am I all wrong? Why do I feel this way? Jess. Well, Jess, I just want to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I, too, felt the same way. I felt that way when I first entered into the practice. I felt that way when I was sitting there in India listening to masters talk about the way, and I kept thinking, I'm just so wrong about everything. And even to this day, I find the same thing occurring within me. It's a humility factor. Look, our egos want us to think that we're right about every damn thing we can think of. Oh, yes, I'm right about this. Oh, yes, I'm right about that. I have this and you don't have that. So I'll tell you how to get this so you can go over there and get that. All these things. And then one day you find out. You get a lot of the things you've wanted in this world, and they haven't made you happy or made a difference in your life at all. You ever had that one possession that you thought, you know, if I get this, it's going to be absolutely magnificent, and everything will happen the way I want it to, and blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. And then you turn around, and you get it, and you find out it didn't change one blooming thing inside your life. Not one blooming thing was changed. And you look at that and you think to yourself, well, what happened there? How come it didn't change me? It didn't change you because nothing from the outer changes us. It's what we realize from within that changes us. So I'm going to tell you what the great teacher is, Jess. It isn't Greg Penn. It isn't Jess. It's futility. And what you're feeling and what you're sensing when you're listening to me is your own futility. That's what I found in myself, my futility. And when I wasn't any longer trying to butt heads with the teachers that I have had in my life, and I was trying to, shall we say, drop my mind and harmonize with the whole thing, that's when it became interesting. Now I'm living according to the manner of my heart, my spirit, rather than the thoughts that I have that possess me into believing, well, this is right and this is wrong and this we all know and that we don't know and all that other stuff we like to believe in. We start to live in a different perspective, a different way. We start to live in the heart rather than in the head. And when that journey has been made from the head to the heart, and you start realizing that your head can listen to your heart, and it doesn't have to agree or disagree with it. All it has to do is be susceptible to it, and you start to feel that light in it, in your heart. You'll find that light transfers into ways of thinking. But this thinking, my dear, is not normal thinking. This thinking isn't the way Greg would think. 2 + 2 = 4. This is a good thing. This is a bad thing. Greg's duality. It won't be about duality anymore. You will sit there in the awe of harmony, the awe of oneness, the awe of the all, as I call it. And as you sit there with that and feel it, it's so sublime. It's so beautiful. It puts everything in perspective. You begin to see that, in your case, Jess, and my case, Greg, they are foolish people. And that's why you feel foolish, because you haven't been living on the sunny side of your life. You and I have been living and listening to the worst parts of ourselves. Not the better part. Not the loving part. Why? Because that's the way we are. I mean, how do you tell somebody? How do you tell someone? Don't live that way. How do you do that? You can't. You can't tell a person, don't do this, do that. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. This is what's good. This is what's bad. You can't do that. Because when you do that, when you think in terms of that way and living in that manner, you miss the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life. You don't get it. Most people don't get it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's the logical way to do the alphabet. They live in the intellect. They can't live in the gap, the pauses, the spaces between the words, between thoughts. Between one breath in, one breath out. Jess, it's just our egos. It is our ego that makes us feel the way we do. Oh, I'm not enough. Oh, I can't understand that. Oh, I should have known that before. Oh, how could I be so stupid? And then it shames us into not working upon ourselves, not living in the essence of ourselves. And when we do that, when we start living from that point of view, I mean, what have you got left in your life? Really, what do you got left? Nothing loving, nothing kind, nothing beautiful. Everything's gone. And you miss the meaning of your own existence in this life. And you really don't want to do that. So in the missing, we get angry and we get hostile with ourselves and we get upset because, oh, I should have known this. Jess, I just want to say one last thing. It is not my desire, my wish to make you feel foolish or stupid at all. So please understand, I have a certain responsibility to helping people and helping you that goes beyond the idea of how other people might feel about themselves in all of this. I'm just here to serve you, to share with you some insights that have brought me to a huge insight into my life about the way of the heart and real love. So don't think that I'm trying to make you feel foolish, because I'm not. And I'm not trying to empower you, quote unquote, you know, do an Oprah thing. I'm trying to help you realize, and here's the key, the simpler you get, the less complicated you are, the more you will know. And this I know from direct experience. That's all it's about. Please forgive me, Jess. Namaste. The last question comes from Kai. And Kai does not tell me where he lives. It could be a woman, but I don't know. So I'm going to assume it's a guy. How did you learn to understand what you teach? It seems to be nonsensical and difficult to understand, and yet you seem to know it so well. Kai. Kai, many, many years ago, I traveled to India. I sat and lived with some very beautiful people who were awakened. And I had to give up all my Western thinking and my Greg Penn thoughts and all of my horse manure. And it took time. I had to do a lot of catharsis. I had to do a lot of inner work. I had to do things that I didn't always enjoy doing. But I had to do it. I knew it because otherwise I was going to turn out like a version of my mother and father. I didn't want to do that. First of all, I didn't learn. At first, I thought it was about learning. I really did. Oh, you learn to do this, you learn to do that, you learn to da. And then my learning dropped. And then I became what I call instinctual. Now, that wasn't much better, but still, it was a little better. I had the instinct to follow this deep yearning I had that I knew since I was a little boy that I wanted to understand. After some practice with that and realizing that wasn't going to be enough, I realized the deep, deep pull inside me. The pull to want to, shall we say, drop want. And when I understood that I can't want what I want, that I have to want no thing with all of my heart, all of a sudden, a new way opened up in me. I call it a new intelligence. It isn't like the ones we have here on Earth. This intelligence is like kind of like the ocean. And as it meets the shore, it kind of drifts up and then back out and drifts up and kind of backs out. The shore cannot be the ocean, and the ocean cannot be the shore, and yet both are necessary. Your intellect and this intelligence being the ocean and the land being the intellect, kind of lap over each other. And it becomes a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And if you're very patient and you're very kind, and you learn that patience, kindness, compassion, mercy have a lot to do with awakening and true understanding, you begin to develop inside of you another beauty, something far more gracious than anything you have known before. And in this graciousness and in this beauty, there is life, a new life. It's a process. And Kai, all I can say is, do you know what wet is? And the only way you'll know is to jump in the water. I can't describe it any better than that. It's everything through nothing. It's great beauty through great tragedy sometimes, and even ugliness. And you realize that life has been very merciful to you and me, very tolerant of us, of our foolishness, of our pride, of our vanity, of our silliness. Don't try to understand me. Understanding is only intellectual. Have the direct experience of what I'm offering to you. If you do that, if you can have that direct experience, then things start to change. A new mind is born. Duality is gone. I'm no longer thinking in dualistic terms. An insight is born, and that's a very precious, precious moment in your life. Thank you for your beautiful question. And please forgive me, Kai. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could be of service to you, please understand I am here. Come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and go to media and click on that. You'll see Satsang with Siraj, that'd be me, and you can ask a question there from the website or listen in other radio programs, past, present, and even future. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste.